In our gospel this morning, there is a scene that's taking place that has taken place for probably hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. Jews in Jerusalem and Jews from all over Israel are congregating into the city. They're coming on their pilgrimage, and they're coming for a special celebration. It's their Passover celebration. It's their time of remembrance of when God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt, out of being slaves for 400 and some years. God saved them, and Passover is a yearly celebration to remember this event and to pray and to sing and to do certain things together. And part of that celebration, they would have special food, a special meal. Part of that meal, they would have flat bread, and they would eat lamb that was slaughtered. And it all goes back to the book of Exodus and how they would celebrate this Passover meal and how God commanded them to celebrate this Passover meal. At some point in their history as a people, they started adding some of the psalms that David wrote into their litany and their worship of Passover. Specifically, they would use Psalms 113 to Psalm 118. A few of them would be read and sung before the meal, and a few would be read after the meal. Psalm 118, which we read from this morning, was sung after the Passover meal. And as part of this song, they would say these words in Hebrew. And repeat after me. You get to learn some Hebrew words today. Ana, Yahweh, Hosanna. Now, that last word especially you should recognize, Hosanna. It's the word that we use on this Palm Sunday. And in many of our translations, when you're waving the palms, we say, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the Son of David. Literally, the words mean, O Lord, save us. O Lord, save us. What's striking about this psalm and about including this into the Passover ritual that they do year after year after year, that they do in order to remember and celebrate God's act of saving them out of slavery in Egypt, is that they are still praying that God would save them. Even after their celebration, even after the remembrance of God's delivery, they recognize that God's saving hand is still needed. They might not be slaves in Egypt anymore, but they, and I think us too, recognize that there's certain things that still enslave us, that still oppress us and bind us and bring us down into subjugation. They, like us, can look around their own lives and see that there is an oppression, even just the oppression of our physical bodies on ourselves, the failings of our human flesh. They, like us, suffer disease. They have people who are lame and unable to walk. There are those who still suffer blindness, all sorts of disability, disease, illness. I think we could safely say that we are oppressed by our own human flesh. And in their world like ours, you can look around and you can see that there's plenty of other kind of oppressions. There are still people who hunger. There are people who suffer from poverty. There are people throughout this world then, as there are now, who suffer under political strife and oppression. And then, as we do now, can look around and see that I'm a slave to sin. You know, in our green hymnal, our confession, we are bound, we are in bondage to sin, and we cannot free ourselves. They might be slaves, or might be free from slavery in Egypt, but there's still a recognition for them, as there is for us now, that there's not a total freedom yet. And so even as they finish celebrating freedom, they continue to pray, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Into this scene is when Jesus enters Jerusalem. He, like everyone else, is coming to celebrate the Passover. And he has a very special Passover in mind that we'll read about and hear about on Maundy Thursday this week. But unlike most of the other people coming into the city, Jesus comes in a different way. He fulfills Old Testament prophecy, and he does so perfectly. He has his disciples go and get a colt, and he rides in on into the city on the foal of a donkey, fulfilling a prophecy about a coming king who is a king that's going to bring salvation into Jerusalem. And people get caught up in the moment. They put their cloaks down upon the road to make way for this coming king. They break off palm branches and they wave them around. And because they have Psalm 118 in their head for a celebration that they're going to enjoy later this week, they take up that song and they attribute it to Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the King. Hosanna to the Lord who is in the highest. They pray right before Jesus, save us, O Lord. Now we don't know exactly what the people thought of Jesus. Some of them envisioned him as a king, and that's evident in how they treated him on Palm Sunday. The crowd will talk about who this Jesus is, and they'll say, well, he's a prophet. He's a great prophet coming into town. Very likely, many of the people have certain hopes, certain expectations of who Jesus should be for them, and they are excited to see him come in, and they are looking forward to God doing something, hence their prayer, Hosanna, save us. But at some point in the coming week, there's a thought that Jesus is no longer the solution to their prayers. And their expectations and their hopes are going to feel like they're not panning out once again. Their hosannas are going to feel like they're falling on deaf ears, and their shouts of Hosanna will turn to shouts of crucify. And things will get ugly really fast. They don't necessarily know what they need. They don't necessarily know what they want, but they have a hope that Jesus is an answer for something. They shout Hosanna on Palm Sunday, as we do too. But living on this side of Easter, on this side of Good Friday, we can safely and fully say that the Lord fully intends to answer their shouts, their prayers for Hosanna, for salvation. And he does so in the most unexpected way. Jesus is a mighty king, but he's coming to be betrayed. He's coming into Jerusalem to be arrested. He's coming there knowing full well that he will be beaten, that these cries of Hosanna are going to be fickle, and they'll shout mockery, and they'll shout crucify. He knows full well that he is going to the cross. And it's in the cross that the Hosanna will fully and truly be answered. In the cross is the beginning of the end. And it's a good end. Let me describe one more picture that Scripture gives us about Hosanna. And this picture, this scene, comes from Revelation chapter 7. And in this scene, it's the place, the central place of it, isn't Jerusalem, it's the throne room of God. And God is there, and he's sitting on his throne, and Jesus is there, and Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. And around this throne is gathered a great multitude. Scripture says it's too great to be numbered. And this great multitude is dressed in white. And they too are waving palms. And they are looking at their king, and they're saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." It's the true and final Hosanna. Except it's not a prayer for God to do something. It's a celebration of what God has fully and finally accomplished in Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the true Passover Lamb, has finally and fully saved and answered the Hosanna. As people of faith, we travel through this veil of tears, this world of sorrow, where there's still hunger, there's still thirst, there's still poverty, there's still the oppression of our human flesh, there is still slavery and bondage to sin. But we know as people of faith that Jesus walks with us, that he died for us, and that we too will be a part of that great multitude of people clothed in white, having the best Palm Sunday ever. Let us pray. O gracious, merciful, heavenly Father, on this day we celebrate Jesus our King, and we continue to pray with the crowd as they did then, that the Lord save us. Help us in our prayers to know that you have already answered it. And give us a vision for that day when we will fully and finally be free from our sin, from the oppressions of this world that has fallen. Strengthen us for our days, that we might remain faithful to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.